Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, Democrat Gazette Senior Editor, and we have back, because we need updates every once in a while, a previous guest, Gabe Holmstrom from the Downtown Partnership, and I know right now we've got a master plan that has finally been about finished. I know you're very busy, so thank you for stopping by. You're on the circuit now selling this master plan.
Absolutely. There's no shortage of people that want me to come talk about it, and I'm happy to do so.
Well, that's, you know, I'm glad to see people talking about downtown, and there are a lot of them now in the wake of this, but never take for granted what people know about or don't know about, even though there's been a lot of publicity in recent weeks. So why don't you walk us through what the master plan is, the years I know that you spent to finally get this done, and why it's important that we have one.
So the a master plan is it provides a roadmap for the things that a city can take on to change how it operates, to change how it functions, to change, you know, the infrastructure. So it deals with all sorts of things, from infrastructure to potential incentive programs, to policies, to city code. And this is something that we have never done in our downtown here in Little Rock. So when you travel around and you see some of these other communities, these other downtowns where things look intentional, that doesn't happen by accident. It's the result of a planning process. So we were able to get about a $1.5 million from the ARPA Recovery Act money dedicated to downtown, and we're using approximately half of that for this master plan. So we had an RFQ, we selected a consultant, we have a great consultant and sub-consultants with them by Sasaki. They're the company that's done this. They've done this all over North America.
I was gonna say one of the best known in the world at what they do.
That's correct. And then, so they hit the ground running just after Labor Day last fall. And we've been working on this, doing a whole host of public meetings, online surveys, soliciting feedback, meeting with people, doing focus groups. And they have produced this 240-page document that we released last month. The public comment period ends this week on June the 6th. And then the plan will then be taken to the Planning Commission and then to ultimately the City Board for their approval.
And so, again, why did we need this? Why did we need to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars? Why is it important to, for instance, those of us who work downtown, or maybe more importantly, those who already live downtown?
Well, so this is one of those areas where everybody has an opinion. So these are people that study this, that are trained and educated in urban planning and outdoor spaces. And so it's important for them to take a holistic look at the entire 2.5 square mile downtown area and figure out the best way to start putting things in place to connect these, to improve, to improve what we have and build on the successes that we have and then overcome some of the challenges. So very quickly in this process, they identified a couple of things. Number one was that we benchmarked downtown Little Rock to several other similarly situated cities like Greenville, South Carolina, like Richmond, Virginia, like Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I think Sioux Falls, Iowa was another one. But when you, because they're comparable in population size, some of them have a river going through them. But when you look at our downtown and you compare to those other communities, one of the things that jumps out very quickly is the density of those other cities, of their downtown area. We're at about a third to a half of the density that these other cities have. So why is that important? Well, there's a couple of things. Primarily, you know, one of the adages in this business is that a lot of these problems that we have are solved by just adding more people. So when they were in the early analysis phase of this, they were able to see that downtown, while our density is not on par with that of our other cities, the occupancy level of residential real estate was upwards of 97%. So it shows that people do want to live in downtown Little Rock.
Right.
But we just are lacking the inventory. Then you have to start unpacking, well, why is that? What are the things that are contributing to that situation? So then you come up with, well, 10% of the ground in downtown Little Rock is surface parking lots. 23% of the ground in downtown Little Rock is owned by the government, be it city, federal, or the state. So how do we, is that the best and highest use for some of the land? When you have, when you do the count of all the parking, so we have about 4,400 people that live in downtown and about 43,000 people work here every day.
Mm-hmm.
We have more parking for the people that live here and work here combined.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
So again, these were, but the, identifying these things, mm-hmm. seeing this very early, you know, or about halfway through the process, you know, one of the things that throughout the planning process that people want to do is figure out where are the early wins going to come from.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that opens
to
up.
To show some momentum,
to show
at least.
Some momentum, yeah. To show some progress. So keep in mind, we had about $1.5 million of the Recovery Act money that was allocated for downtown. That is a lot of money, but when it comes to city planning and city infrastructure, that is not a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we really realized is the 18 acres of green space that is going to be created right in the middle in the heart of our city as a result of the 30 Crossing project. That's going to be turned over to us whether we like it or not. We need to figure out a plan for that. So we're then taking the remaining money that we have left, and there's currently an RFP out right now to select a firm to come in and plan that 18 acres of green space and develop 30% drawings, which is important, that will allow us to then go after federal grants, state grants, and then clearly we're going to have to go to the private sector for this as well.
Absolutely. So that, I guess that was going to lead me to my next question, those next steps, because, I mean, the old cliche, of course, is the study that sits on a shelf and gathers dust, and it seems to me, recent meetings you had, there does seem to be a feeling on a lot of people, this is the time that we can't let something gather dust. We've already spent way too much on this, and at least to me, seems to be some movement. Let's make something happen.
I think there was a great desire from the people that I talked to and then the people that are involved with these meetings as well as the citizens. They're ready to see something. A lot of people travel. They go visit other cities. They go visit other downtowns, and they see what's possible, and they want to see that in their home.
Mm-hmm.
A particularly interesting part about this is what came up time and time again is that how we're ignoring this beautiful asset right in our backyard, which is the Arkansas River. Other cities that have a river or that don't have a river are very jealous of this, and they're very confused when they see that we have it and we don't use it. So there is a big desire on the part of the people and the population to activate the river, to make it a recreational destination. But that's going to take a lot of effort, a lot of energy, a lot of money.
Yeah. And not only is it a river, as I point out to people, unlike a lot of cities, even with rivers, ever since the McClellan Kerr Arkansas River Navigation Project, it's a tamed river. So most of the time, very accessible to boaters, sailboats, whatever, rowboats, which a lot of rivers aren't in cities because of the lock and dam system that we've got
along
the Arkansas.
I mean, it's basically
that's a series
lake.
Of lakes.
That's
yeah.
right.
Series of lakes.
That's
is
right.
what you now have.
And well, and then you have one of the we have the outfitter, you know, Sam Ellis with mm-hmm. Rock City Outfitter.
I've had
outfitter.
Sam on the show.
I
yeah.
bet. Yeah. So yeah. he's a huge advocate, and it's amazing the amount of times that you know he brings people out to the river that are scared, that don't know what to expect. They've heard all these bad things over the years. And then an hour into this, they realize the beauty that they have right before them.
That this is spectacular. Let's walk around a little bit, if you will, in a figurative sense, to the neighborhoods that that make up what we call downtown. I'll I'll walk through each area. A lot of focus, obviously, in recent decades. We'll start with the River Market, have gone on there. Still, businesses doing very well. I know the vacancies get a lot of attention, but you and I both know when the restaurant business concepts are going to come and go. I think everybody agrees there needs to be a major reimagining of the Oppenheimer Hall, the River Market Hall that people think of. And I know the Convention and Visitors Bureau is moving toward that, right?
That's correct. So there were some bonds that were renewed last year, I believe. So there's money set aside in that for the reimagination of the market hall. There's additional money in the one-cent sales tax increase that's going to be coming before the voters this November. And they are working with several folks right now to come up with a new concept that is going to completely transform the market hall into something that looks extremely different from what we've been seeing for the past couple decades.
That's going to be very exciting. And we should also point out that as we speak, the Central Arkansas Library System is putting over $20 million in a complete transformation of the main branch of the library. And that's going to be very important to the whole River Market District also.
Absolutely. So you combine the investment in the Market Hall with what Central Arkansas Library is doing, and then whatever the investment is going to be in the 18 acres of green space, that entire area of the city is going to look a lot different several years down the road. But we have to start with a plan.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't do these things in a silo.
Exactly.
So now we have a greater plan that we can refer back to and say, okay, so we're doing this here, and this over here. But then how do we connect the success mm-hmm. of the River Market to continue down Main Street, to then go down Main Street South and jump over into SoMa? Because what you're seeing in these areas is walkability is a driving factor in where people are choosing to live. They want to be in an area where they can then go walk to the restaurants, or walk to the bars, and then walk back home.
I think you and I have had this discussion through the years. I think in some people's minds, they somehow got the idea that the River Market, present Clinton Avenue through the River Market, should be another Bourbon Street, another Bill Street. That was never the plan. I mean, this is a place that mixes nightlife, but with cultural opportunities like the main library, like the Museum of Discovery. It's very different. The concept is to be a place that lives day and night, right?
That's right. And again, that's right. It was never intended to be, the Beale Street, the Bourbon Street. You have the clearly the farmer's market is a mm-hmm. is a major staple in the community and in downtown. But then how do you build upon that? One of the things that you've seen is the owners of the businesses have been meeting regularly for the past 6 months, and they're really starting to focus on what are the things that they can start doing to activate that space. The Convention and Visitors Bureau has been working with different promoters, and I think we have 6 concerts on the books.
That's great.
For the amphitheater this year. And so, when what we do know is when there's a sold-out show there, everybody wins.
Yeah. Now, let's move, like I said, I'm going to kind of hop neighborhoods here, but let's move right next door to the MacArthur Park area. We recently celebrated, again on the positive side, the one-year anniversary of the spectacular new Arkansas Museum of Fine Arts. And I continue to believe that it will continue to spur more residential renovations, what have you, in that neighborhood. It has lived up to the expectations, hasn't it?
Absolutely. The hype is very real and very believable. When you go walk into that place, it is just amazing that we have that right here in downtown Little Rock. And it's, again, such a gift for our city and the people that come and the programming that exists there and the great job that faculty and staff is doing. We cannot ignore that. I mean, that is a huge impact that we have to then build on. And so how are these other areas and these other infill developments going to take advantage of that? What's going to happen around that? And I think you're seeing people that are choosing to live in MacArthur Park in that historic district, mm-hmm. or across 630 in Petaway, and they're choosing to live there just so they can walk to the museum.
Absolutely. It has been, or is going to continue to be, I think, for years, a driver. You mentioned the 18 acres. Since I'm over at MacArthur Park now, let's mention the potential of a bridge park over Interstate 30, for which we have received a planning grant right now.
That's correct. So there has been a planning grant that the city was awarded, but the you have the overpasses at both 6th and 9th Street. So the concept there would be to put a deck over the top of that. I think there's going to be some difficult conversations in the future when we have to figure, there's only going to be so many resources to go around. Mm-hmm. So is it feasible to do that at the same time that we have
the other 18 acres? Can
we do both, or does one need to take priority? And I think those are conversations that need to be had. But it's important to recognize that the new overpasses are a lot wider than they were before. They have walking the sidewalks for and available that are wide enough for bicyclists and people to walk. But we have to connect those to something, whether that's down into East Village or then back into the heart of the downtown.
Mm-hmm. Let's keep moving around. You mentioned Petaway, and I was going to hit on Soma and Petaway together. I recently went down and had coffee in Petaway, and it's really exciting to see people on the streets there during the day coming there to come to Petaway. Who could have dreamed that as recently as 5 years ago? Soma continues to do well. And then, you know, I had on the previous edition of the show, we were also talking downtown. I had the guy considered the downtown godfather, Jimmy Moses, as my guest. And Jimmy said, you know, sometimes it takes an out-of-state audacious developer. So we had a guy from South Georgia come in, redoing the old Veterans Hospital, which had sat empty for years. I mean, that may, if you take Soma and Petaway together, that may be about the most exciting area as far as potential of Little Rock right now.
Oh, it's amazing. So you got to think, he's going to put those online later this summer.
Mm-hmm.
That's 190 units.
Yeah.
So those are 100.
A lot of new residents.
Potentially
downtown.
300 yeah. residents that are going to be in walking distance to what's been built by Mike Orndorff at Petaway Square. And then, from there, it's only another 6 blocks to get down to the traditional Soma area where you have the different restaurants that people can go for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner. So by adding more people to that area, that's going to continue to build off of itself. And that's what we need. We need the people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as that continues to take off, if hopefully he fills that Veterans Hospital complex with people, that will pull the South Main development even further south, maybe all the way down to Roosevelt at that point.
That's right. So you're starting to see, and at this point, there is not really a whole lot of open retail space left in Soma.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple spots here and there, but with the old Madison Guarantee building being redone, I mean, it has art galleries, has a bagel shop, it has another gift shop in there. We're continuing to push down or push south down towards Roosevelt. And I think the next big development is potentially the empty lot next to the food giant right on Main, and I think that's 18th.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a buildable lot that is prime for development.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's cross Interstate 30. You mentioned East Village. You know, I know those of us, and I count myself among those, as you know, who are very interested in downtown development, and we're a bit saddened that it didn't work out for Lyon College to put its new veterinary and dental schools downtown. For those of us who live in Central Arkansas, at least they're still going forward. They're going to be in Central Arkansas. That's good news. Good news for Riverdale. Good news for Cabot. But I think there's a momentum over there now in East Village that is going to be, regardless, kind of hard to stop. We see the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra finishing its headquarters building now. If you haven't been by to look at that construction going on. We know that in the years to come, there will be a major addition being made to the Clinton Presidential Center, which is extremely exciting. And Gabe, I recently toured the building, what's going to be Southern Tail Brewing, and it's going to be a spectacular.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Facility. Who could have thought a major brewery would be on that corner again as recently as 3 or 4 years
That's
ago?
That's right.
And what was considered a rough, you know, you don't want to be on this corner.
Well, and kudos to those folks for having the vision. I mean, it takes people that have the vision, having the willingness to go think, hey, this is something that's wanted. This is something that's needed. Because, you know, in essence, that is three blocks from the new museum. Mm-hmm. So you could go park there, check out a flight of beers, and then walk down to the museum and then walk back.
Right.
Not to mention you have Art Space a block away that's going to be going in.
The Wingate Art Space, absolutely. It'll be us housing dozens of artists there.
Has 60 live workspaces as a part of that. And then even though the Vet and Dental School didn't come to East Village, it's important to recognize that Heifer building is a unique building. It is this LEED certified building that is highly attractive. I know we're in a difficult time with commercial real estate, but I remain optimistic that the right end user for that building is out there and something is going to come there that we're all going to be very excited about.
Yeah, I agree with you. And let's also point out that, and I consider this a big win for downtown, and that is the last time that the city proposed a sales tax increase, this wasn't in the proposal for downtown. Now there is in the proposal that is going to be coming to the ballot this fall, a $60 million indoor sports facility. I know some people have their doubts about that. I will try to convince them otherwise. Again, you and I have talked about this. I raised two boys in the city of Little Rock, one on a traveling baseball team, one on a traveling basketball team, spent tons of money. Youth sports is recession-proof.
Right.
It is. You're going to go see your kids and your grandkids regardless of how the economy's doing. And that facility could just be incredible for our downtown hotels and restaurants to have those kind of events coming in weekend after weekend after weekend there.
Because it goes back to what I keep talking about. That's going to put people on the street.
That's right.
People are going to stay in the hotels.
Lots of people.
They're going to go to the restaurants. They're going to walk over to the sports facility, watch their games, then go out back to the restaurants, back to the hotels. It's in walking distance or biking distance to what John Burkhalter has done over at the Rock City Yacht Club, and then connecting to the Southwest Trail. So there are a lot of amenities that are going to be added to that area, again, in fairly short order as it comes, as being considered for the time of the city.
Yeah. Well, I'm a huge proponent of that, and thank goodness that that is downtown, because, again, the rooms already exist. The hotel rooms, they serve business travelers largely during the week. You've got those weekends open for tournaments to fill them up. The restaurants already exist. Really, really exciting potential there. All right, I have saved what Jimmy and I at least agreed on the show the last time around was our problem child for last, and that is where we sit. We are taping this in the Democrat Gazette building at the corner of Capitol and Scott, and that is Capitol Avenue, the old financial district, if you will. And, you know, again, I think we share the belief that from here west to the state capitol really ought to be probably the grand boulevard of the state leading up to your state capitol, and it is far, far from that right now.
That's right. One of the things that we did a video a couple years ago, and I wanted to be filmed standing in the middle of Capitol Avenue
and not getting hit by anything because there's no traffic.
That's right. I wasn't even worried. We were able to do that and take as many shots as we needed because, yeah.
I'm laughing, but it's sad, yeah.
It is. But when you look at that And you see, especially as you go more to the west and then leading up to the state capitol itself, you know, we look at what Austin has done with Congress Avenue. Mm-hmm. They created the dedicated bike lane. So it's very clear that we don't need five lanes of traffic on Capitol Avenue. So how can we reposition those? How do we make that into a boulevard or add a dedicated protected bike lane on the side and then make that bike lane connect to some of the other existing bike lanes and trails to connect this patchwork of neighborhoods that we have? That's one of the things we talk about in the plan. How do we connect these individual neighborhoods inside of downtown? But one of the things that we've identified and really came up with as it pertains to Capitol Avenue is that, so now for 14 years, you know, we've done the food truck festival on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be picking up the festival this year and putting it on Capitol Avenue.
Oh, great.
Right in front of the state capitol. So we're going to be bringing 30, 40, 50,000 people out to Capitol Avenue. I don't remember the last time that many people
like
have been
that.
On Capitol
yeah.
Avenue.
Yeah.
But it's our hope that we're going to bring people to the space, let people see how it functions, and maybe generate some ideas about, hey, this, what could go here? What could we do here?
I want to point out that this part of the old Central Business District is not without some good news. A couple of projects that were delayed by the pandemic, as so much was, and that is a boutique hotel going into the old Lafayette Hotel building. Also, I noticed the building permit in our paper just a couple of weeks ago. So they're going forward with transforming the Sam Peck Hotel
right.
into a Fairfield Inn. Those are very good things that will bring more overnight visitors further, a little further west.
Absolutely. And anytime you can get the plywood off the windows, I think
absolutely.
That's a good sign. And that, you know, that's really to the old
we need
Sam
that
Peck.
Building reopened. Yeah,
that's it. I mean, it's heading up to the Capitol, and I think there's a lot of uses and a lot of need for that. The Lafayette building, what a treasure.
It's a beautiful lobby. This lobby is
amazing. And I'm really optimistic about the restaurant bar that they're going to be able to build inside of there. What an incredible space.
Of course, in the last few years, we've had new owners of what was the Bank of America Tower has changed names now, the Regions Tower. And again, thinking creatively, and I hope that new ownership was a subject you and I, again, have talked about in the past. I can picture great restaurants in those big open-air former bank lobbies in those buildings.
Oh, the potential for those is just fantastic. And don't forget in the old, what's now the 200 West building.
Yeah, former Bank of America, yeah.
You know, the fourth floor has a
terrace, yeah.
Outdoor terrace that they're steadily working on and going to transform into a beautiful, beautiful space. So that building has a lot of the key bones that are set up for success with the outdoor terrace, with those big, large bank lobbies. How can that streetscape be reworked to highlight those, to accentuate those? Again, I think we have great ownership with those buildings. They're forward thinking. They're ready for make good stuff happen.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got, we mentioned so much going on in SoMa on South Main Street, here on North Main Street. I mean, we've got one block right around the corner from where we're taping with 8 restaurants on it now. I don't think... Again, a decade ago, anybody could have envisioned that.
No.
8 restaurants on that one block.
It goes back to when we started the food truck festival. There was nothing.
Yeah.
There was nothing there. So picking up that and moving that to Capitol Avenue, what is that going to encourage? What idea is going to go off for somebody? That's what we're trying to do.
And now I can look out my window on the third floor of this building and look down to that important intersection of Capitol and Main and see construction fencing on two sides. One is the Little Rock Technology Park expands. One is the Boyle Building is being redone. Where a lot of downtowns across America are struggling, we've got our challenges, but focusing on the good, that's pretty exciting to look at and see two construction projects going on at once on the same intersection.
Without a doubt. And then that's going to bring more people working right on Main Street. parking and Main Street. So I know, and that beautiful building, which is for a long time been an eyesore, is considered a linchpin to this. Mm-hmm. So that's going to just leave one building on Main Street that's in dire need of help.
Which would be Donaghy.
The yeah. Donaghy building, yes.
Yeah, and I have to think there's a residential use in its future as we get more people coming downtown back to where we started.
That's right.
People living here.
Again, the data shows that people want to live here. We just don't have the product. I went and toured a business, this was probably 2 months ago, and the CEO took me into a room full of 60 of his employees. And these are all people that work right in the heart of downtown Little Rock. And he asked how many of them lived in downtown. Nobody raised their hands. Why? Well, they didn't have the product that they needed for a whole variety of reasons. But ultimately, that was it. So we need more variety. We need more inventory here.
Yeah. Now, speaking of right by where we're taping here, this Capitol and Main intersection, by golly, you got my clock back and working again.
Hey, that the cave's clock. We did. Man,
Bob Lyford's happy now.
He is. He you know, he moved. He didn't even make
you ready out of town. Oh, took so long.
No, kudos to Bob. You know, and I've been in this role for 9 years, and I think in the first month I was here, Bob started emailing me about that clock.
Let's get it working.
And we got it fixed, and we kind of, you know, kept band-aiding it
up. Little things are important, though. They send a message.
Is.
Yeah,
it is. But yeah, now we finally got the clock back up and running. Fully restored, and hopefully it's going to last for another 35, 40, 50 years.
I want to close on this. We mentioned the Donaghy building and how I think residential's in its future. One of the things that the master plan clearly showed, which you already know, you've been working on it, but everybody who supports downtowns, not just in Little Rock, but all over Arkansas, are going to have to get together, go to the legislature, because our developers here in Arkansas are on an unlevel playing field with those in surrounding states. You and I, a year or so ago, went to Memphis, saw what was being done there. We need to offer those people who are trying to do downtown development some of the tax credits that they're able to get in surrounding states.
Absolutely. You know, that's been the very powerful part of what the consultants, what Sasaki has been able to identify, is when you look at what's available in Little Rock, and this is really for the state of Arkansas as a whole, once you get past the historic tax credits, we don't have a lot of incentive. We don't have incentives.
Mm-hmm.
When a regional or national developer is looking at different cities of our size to invest in, they're going to go to where they get the best deal. If we don't have the financing packages to help them make the deal pencil, they're not going to come here.
Yeah.
So these are things that we've discussed with the state that our lawmakers are aware of. I think there's a great opportunity to make some of these changes and take advantage of the research that Little Rock has paid for. But if some of these changes are made, it's going to benefit the entire state. So I'm very optimistic about where we go with this. I think there's a long way to go. But when, you know, the important takeaway with this is that when they identified and kind of stacked up the incentives available in Arkansas and Little Rock to the rest of the country, we came in 49th.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is something that we can legislatively fix.
Yep. Looking out 5 years, 10 years even, would you describe yourself as generally bullish on the future of downtown Little Rock?
I think so. I would. And I say, if downtown Little Rock doesn't look dramatically different in 10 years, it's because we don't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the opportunity is there. The desire by people to live here is there. But it in history can serve as a great teacher here. So if you look 10 years ago, it would be hard to imagine what you're seeing built in East Village.
Exactly.
And in Petaway.
Exactly.
And so at some point, those areas are going to reach capacity, and people that are looking for the next frontier are going to look to different locations but still want the urban environment. So is that down by the train station? Is that along Capitol Avenue? Is that some of the vacant land that exists? The city of Little Rock has a parking lot that is right on the river that offers city employees, when they park and when they leave, some of the best views of the river. Is that the best use of the land? So I think those things are going to change in the next 5 and 10 years. And again, we're talking in these larger year increments. You know, it's important to recognize that Greenville, South Carolina, which is this city that is being touted as a great renewal and a great rebirth in this ideal city. So two big takeaways that I've learned from about that city is 20 years ago in 2004, they didn't have a single restaurant in their downtown.
Wow.
So they've been able to make that change.
In just 20 years, yeah.
And the other fascinating anecdote about Greenville, the busiest time in their downtown is at 2 o'clock on a Sunday.
That's fascinating. Gabe, thank you. I'll have you back soon because there's so much going on. I knew we'd run out of time quickly.
Yeah.
Gabe Holmstrom from the Downtown Partnership. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.